There, but go in your Bibles, if you would, tonight to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. We're going to look at verses 1 through 25. The main point we're going to make tonight will be from the most familiar portion of passage that we have here in verse 6. You're probably all familiar with the end of verse 6, which says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I would like to read all of these verses as we get started. And as I read, notice David going from loss to gain. Notice David going from discouragement to encouragement. And also from David being given to giving. So it says that it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, "To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said unto him, "Canst thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Well, David got to the lowest of lows. David was in a low place, but David became encouraged. That's exactly what we want when we hit those low places in life. We want to be able to be encouraged. Every single one of us need encouragement. We need encouragement when we're facing trouble. And hey, we need encouragement when we're not facing trouble, when it seems to be a mundane time, when not much seems to be going on. Our mind can go to places, and we can get in such a place very easy to where we need to be encouraged. Look, we need to be encouraged even when we do right. Somebody said, you want some opposition against you? Just do that which is right. And so we always need encouragement. Just simply not knowing how some things are going to turn out. Look, we need encouragement because we don't know how things are going to turn out. We trust the Lord, but just to think about life, it can be discouraging. We need constant encouragement. When we think of who we are as children of God, and who our God is, and all the promises He's made to us, and all the power that He has given us, look, we're to be a thriving people. And that's the way it's to be so much of the time. We're to be a thriving people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at our eternity. Look at the promises we have. But truth be known, there are some seasons where we would have to say we're just trying to survive. Discouragement comes over us. Problems just seem to take place. And look, we're just trying to survive. I know that's true of all of us at different times. David was in a situation of needing great encouragement. He and 600 of his men had left Ziklag, and they had gone to the military. They had gone off, and they left their wives and their children and their possessions, and they were unprotected. The Amalekites come in, and they invade the territory, took their wives, took their children, took all of their possessions, and what they didn't take, they burned up. And they just left the city burning in ashes. David and his men make a two-day hard journey through rough terrain to get back, and they find that everything has been torched. They don't see their families. They don't see their wives or their children. Their possessions are gone. The wives and children are taken captive. And they cried until they couldn't cry anymore, until they were all dried up. And part of this we won't get into is that there's some chastening upon David for some compromise that he had made, so he knows that by his decisions and actions that he has responsibility in what has come upon them. And there, David's being blamed by many of the men there. There is a threat upon David's life. They're considering wanting to stone him. And so David is in a low place. He is in distress. Now, we have not been in the same circumstances as David, but we do get into a low place sometimes. And when it rains, sometimes it pours, as people say. And so David gets to a place of an encouraged state in his lowest of lows. How did he do that? Well, he didn't do it by his own human reasoning. He didn't do it by the arm of the flesh. That's how Saul operated. And we see what happened to Saul. He was dethroned as king. And so David did not act as Saul did, but David, in that condition, considering what he had come back to face, that he even had some responsibility in, David turned to the Lord. And the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David had a wonderful friend, Jonathan. And Jonathan encouraged David. But here's a situation where he doesn't have his friend Jonathan. Here's a situation with the men of the army that he was with. They were against him in the moment. And we read from verse 1 through verse 6. And we read a lot of negative things. And we read of these things that came upon them. There's one thing positive, and that's that the women and the children weren't dead there. They had been taken. They had not been killed. But everything else that had come upon David, look, the property, the people, it was either gone or it was destroyed. And then we get to this word in verse 6, but. That's a beautiful word. That's a delightful word. That gives some hope. And a change from everything that has just been said. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It may not sound very delightful, but something positive is coming, because it was something negative, and there's going to be a change. Through all of the circumstances that have come crashing down on David, taking him to a pit of despair, he finds a way to be encouraged. He, with the help of no one around him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. David was in such a predicament that he had to search within. He had a very important decision to make at the bottom of the barrel when the bottom fell out in life. I mean, he was either going to hurt those who hurt him, or he was going to find some help. He had a choice to make, and David chose help from heaven instead of hurt for hurt. He lost everything except the clothes on his back. That's the only possession that he had. Everything else was a pile of ashes. He had no house. He had no city. He had no possessions. But he had the Lord his God. And he turned to him. And he turned to him to be encouraged. How did David encourage himself in the Lord after such a traumatic event? First, let me say that this can't happen just by trying to be religious. This can't happen by knowing about the Lord, by knowing about God. It happens by knowing Jesus Christ in a personal relationship. You got to know Him, and you got to walk with Him and talk with Him. He knows your name, you know Him, and you talk with Him. And He's your personal Lord and Savior. He's not just the Savior of the world. He's your personal Lord and Savior. God is not just God. He's your Father. And so in order for these events that are about to be carried out to happen in our lives, we must know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because when David has just lost everything, and he has no possessions, no cattle, no nothing, he's a rich man because he knows the Lord. He's rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he encouraged himself in the Lord by three things we're going to look at in the following verses from verse 6. And that is, he encouraged himself by seeking God's will. He encouraged himself by being supplied in God's service. And he encouraged himself by sharing in God's grace. So in verses 7 through 10 that we just read earlier, we find that after it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, we see him seeking God's will. David had failed in an area, and things had come against David, and the situation at hand, David had some fault in. But God wasn't through with David, and David knew it. David obviously believed that God had a will for his life. David could do something for God. David should do something for God. I mean, he obviously believed that God had a will for his life because he asked him for his will. He asked him what he wanted him to do. David was not done. And this time he's making a move to seek God's will. It seems like what probably happened was he didn't seek God's will before. He took off with the army before, and he left, and look what happened to the camp. And it's probable that he didn't seek the Lord. And speaking of probable, the enemy of God has come in and taken from the people of God, taken the women and children. What seems to be probable is that he can go back and get his people. He can take his army and go fight and get them. A lot of people would take off and do that. Don't worry about this, Lord. I'll take care of this one. Just watch what I do. David doesn't do that. He doesn't do what seems to be probable. He asks the Lord what his will is in this. He asks the Lord if the Lord would have him to go pursue them. Here it is in verse 8. David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" He is seeking God's will. The things that have happened have transpired, and he hasn't acted in anger. He hasn't acted in revenge. He hasn't turned away from God because of whatever has been allowed. But he encouraged himself, one, by seeking God's will and what God would have him to do. And the Lord immediately responds. You know, it's one thing for us to do things. It's one thing for us to do good things. It's another thing for us to do things with the peace of God. And so David asks the Lord, And the Lord gives him clear instructions. To have clear instruction from the Lord is to go forward and do what you do in the peace of God. David not only had the peace of the Lord by asking the Lord's will, he had a promise from the Lord by seeking His will. He was promised that he would be replenished of all that he lost and then some. David turned to the Lord. He cried to the Lord. He was answered by the Lord. He trusted the Lord, and he pursued the Lord's will with peace and a promise. The 138th Psalm in the third verse, very fitting here. It says, "In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul." See, David didn't just seek God's will. He acted upon it when he got the peace from God. You know, faith is believing, and faith is acting upon what you believe. He didn't go just sit on a pile of rubbish and ashes and something that had been burned up and said, "Well, Lord, I know you have a will in this." No, he asked the Lord his will. And he asked in such a way as, "Do you want me to do this?" And he did. He encouraged himself by seeking God's will and by being supplied in God's service. We read verses 11 through 19 and earlier. And so David had taken 600 men with him when he left Ziklag. And now he's taken just 400 men back whenever he is going to, by the will of God, to take out those who had taken the wives, taken the children, taken all of those possessions. He had 600, he left with 400, 200 stayed back. They were exhausted from the war that they had been in before. They were fatigued from the battle. So David and 400 men take off in the will of God to go take out these Amalekites. They didn't immediately find them, but they found a man out in the field, and he was near death, an Egyptian man who was starving and he was thirsting. Wow, that's the illustration of a needy sinner and who needs salvation. Amen. And what David did for him illustrates the mercy of God. The Bible says they gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him drink water and gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. They're looking for a whole troop of people, and they run across one man, and they minister to this one man's needs. You know, when we go out in the will of God, we're to take Jesus, who is the bread of life and living water, to a lost and dying, thirsting and starving world. But when this man revived, David asked him where he's from. "What are you doing? Who are your people? Well, you know, what's your story? Can you take me to these Amalekites?" And this man, when he had been revived, he said, "Yeah, I can take you to them. Don't kill me if I do, and don't turn me over to them if I take you to them. But yeah, upon that, I will do that." This man was a servant of an Amalekite ruler. They couldn't find these people, but they take off in the will of God and they find one man, and he knows where they are. He was with them, but he became sick and they abandoned him and they left him for dead. Yeah, now he was a servant of this Amalekite ruler, but the way that they've treated him now, how loyal do you think he wants to be to them? Not very. And then on the other hand, when you consider the consideration and the care that David had given this man and showed him, he nourished him back to health, I reckon he's going to help out. And he says he will. In the meantime, the Amalekites, I guess, they're rejoicing. They're having a big party. They have taken the women and children as slaves, and by the way, they're having this party by means of all the stuff that they took from Judah and took from the Philistines, all of the spoils of war that they have, and they're just having a big party in the meantime. And this poor dying fellow that they thought would that the Amalekites probably thought would be dead was revived, and he revealed where David could find the enemy. Think about this. David asks God's will. God says, go pursue them. They can't find them. They run across this man. Amazing things happen in the will of God. It's a great place to be. It's the place that the children of God belong. God supplies everything we need in His will. Anything that God requires of us to do, He gives us the ability to do it, and He gives us the means to be able to do it. And things work out in God's will in ways that we could never expect or never be able to explain. So David and his men, sure enough, they come upon the Amalekites. They're having their celebration. They believe that they are safe and they are secure. They don't have anyone even on the watchtower. And they're just partying away. And David and his men come in. And they take them out. And they received all that was theirs back to them and then some, by the promise of God that He made in His will. And they returned triumphant back to the land. They walked in God's will. They asked God's will. God was faithful, and they received everything back. And I'd like to say they lived happily ever after. And I've been guilty of this. Just when I think there's a great victory, there's another problem that'll show up. You know, if you're not in a problem right now, you just came out of one. If you didn't come out of one, one's coming, all right? And so there's another challenge ahead. We see in verses 20 through 25. But David is still encouraging himself in the Lord his God by being in His will, by walking in His will, by being supplied with everything that he needs. And then in sharing God's grace. Verse 20 through 25, we see a conflict that shows up here, but we see David leading in the sharing of God's grace, because the challenge was, it was a 600-man army. Only 400 went with David to take out the Amalekites and to take the spoils of war and to get their women and children back. And 200 stayed back. Some of those 400 said, they don't deserve any of it. Hey, let's split it up among us 400, but not among the 200 that quit, that didn't go back. Look, concerning those 200 that didn't go back, it's not that they didn't do anything in the first place. It's not that they didn't want to go. They were exhausted. They left it all out on the battlefield another time. And who knows what position they had and what duties they had above the others. That's not a negative thing that they stayed back. But however, you have some conflict. They weren't lazy or wanting to do nothing, but you had conflict from many of the others. There are some justifiable reasons why they were more exhausted than the others that we could name all night. But when it came to divide the spoils of war, there was these conflicting thoughts. Some of the 400 thought that the 200 should not get a share of the possessions that were brought back. You see that in verse 22. And then in verse 23, David reminds them that God promised the victory. David reminds them that God promised that they were going to get all of this back. Everything they had was the gift of God. The victory that they received was the gift of God. It was no accident that they ran across one sick man in the field who led them to be able to find the enemy and to be able to take them out. God deserves all the glory and all the credit for it. It was the hand of God that gave them the victory. And so how should they be sitting around talking about how this should fairly be divided out concerning the spoils of war? God had been generous to every one of them. God gave grace to all of them. Everything came from His hand. They had all received the same grace from God. And no matter what everyone else was saying, David said, "You've all received the same grace from God, everyone." Whether they were off in the battlefield or whether they stayed by the stuff, everyone is going to receive the same. David shared in the grace of God. David had nothing, but he turned to the Lord to encourage himself in the Lord. He asked the Lord's will. Everything was gone. And now, by the grace of God and leading in the grace of God, now he's spreading out in abundance to all the people. That actually became a principle moving forward. That's the way it was all the time. If you stayed by the stuff or you were on the battlefield, whichever, it all gets distributed evenly. It was an ordinance. It was a statute that was made for Israel. Even distribution for all. David got hit with a hard one, you know. He was down and depressed. He suffered loss. He was very discouraged. And how did he rise up out of the pit of despair? He encouraged himself in the Lord by turning to the one whose hand controls everything, passes through God's hand. And that's who he turned to when he lost all. And he humbly sought the will of God. And then to be supplied in service to God, to carry out His will. And then he was encouraged by sharing the grace of God. David was suffering consequences for wrong actions. He was at a very low point in his life. You and I haven't been to the same place through the same circumstances as David, but there's no doubt that we have been to a low point in many other ways. Sometimes we're going to suffer some loss. Sometimes we're going to get hit hard. And let us be very careful not to go sit on a heap of ashes and try to reason things out and wonder how this happened or why this has happened. You know, for David to think, why is Saul after me? Wow, why did all of this happen? Let us be careful that we don't try to figure it all out. Because as we see here tonight, God's hand is always at work, whether we can see His hand at work or not. We can trust that and know that He's working. And we're not going to understand or see what he's doing most of the time. So let us not turn to our own reasoning. Let us not look to lay blame or listen to the wrong people, but turn to the Lord as David did. To know, how about that? For David to know in a point like that, in that pit of despair, that he can be lifted up. And he knew where to look to be lifted up. It wasn't around him, it was up. And he looked to the Lord, and the Lord encouraged him. And not only for David, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we look to him, and he will encourage us as well. When we ask for his will, when we do his will, and when we share God's grace. Well, we're going to close in a word of prayer. We're not going to have an invitation tonight, but let us just consider our God, no matter what we're going through, and how we can look to him in all things. He wants us to be encouraged. We're to be a thriving people. And that we might have a season, a moment where we're just surviving. But we're to be a rejoicing people. We're to be full of joy and serving him all the time for his glory. A child of the King. Let us consider that when we get to our lowest of lows. David got low, but he never lost the understanding that he could be encouraged in the Lord. And that's for every single one of us tonight. God is always ready to encourage each and every one of us. Amen. We're going to close now, and God bless you all for being here tonight. I just took advantage of no time clock up on the screen. So if it's 8:15, it's 8:15. I don't know. But it was good to be with you all in God's house tonight. Love you all. And I'm going to ask Barry Farr if he'll close our Bible study in a word of prayer.